You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Hello, everyone. Mari Fagel here, and I'm joined by my two lovely co-hosts, Jessica King in Los Angeles and Jackie Moran in New York. How are you girls?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm shocked by part one of the reunion, and we'll get into it. I don't know. It wasn't exactly what I expected. Obviously, I expected all of the Taylor drama, and I expected them to get into all of that. But I really am quite shocked at how focused it was on Lisa. Like, Lisa is the big villain of the season, apparently, and did I miss something there? That's like, watching the entire reunion, what I take away most is that. So I want to get your opinions. But overall, what did you think of part one of the reunion? Jackie?
I totally agree with you, Mari, and I have a major theory that I actually just formulated right now during the intro.
On the
spot. Do you
want to
hear it now?
Yeah, let's hear it.
My theory is that if it's true that Lisa's getting her own show, maybe they were focusing the drama on Lisa either on the producer's end to put more attention on her or on the girls' end because they're jealous of her. Either way, I think the girls were jealous of her, but maybe the producers cooked it up that way because if she is getting her own show, I don't know. That's my theory. I just
so maybe like a Bethany factor, like they're Bethanizing her.
Right. It just came to me.
What do you think?
That definitely makes sense.
I agree.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I agree with you as well, Mari, that it felt like it was a huge gang up on Lisa. And I started to feel really bad for her. And like you said, there was a part of me that was kind of like, am I missing something? Because we didn't see this tension a whole lot throughout the episode. I know we briefly talked about how we thought there could be some tension, especially after Kevin Lee told us that he felt that there was some competition between the two of them, but it wasn't really focused on a lot. But yesterday, I just felt like I saw a whole new side of Adrian that we haven't seen all season. And I was shocked, but at the end of the day, I have to say I was completely drawn into the entire episode. I didn't want to miss a second of it, and that's a lot more than I could say for last week's episode. So I was definitely very happy with the outcome of part one, and I'm super excited for part two and three now.
And I think for the most part, the reunion was pretty tame compared to other reunion shows that I've seen and that I've hosted. I mean, Jackie, I don't know if you remember the Real Housewives of New York one that we hosted. That was insane, like yelling and screaming and walking out. And I'm sure we'll probably see some insane moments in part two.
New Jersey has them,
fighting.
It
got pretty dramatic, but I think it got pretty dramatic, but the girls faced it. You know, they didn't yell that much. I know Brandy will be, like, a big factor in it, but I don't know. I thought it was pretty calm, and I think one reason why they totally recast the entire Real Housewives of New York was because it got to be too much. And this was like, when it comes to the level of drama and entertainment, and I don't know, it tread the line. I didn't think it was too over the top. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I have to completely agree, Mari. Actually, Jessica and I started chatting a little bit just before the show started, and that was exactly what I was about to say. is that compared to the New York reunion, and, you know, being a New Yorker myself, I get how New Yorkers are, but, you know, Mari, you're a Beverly Hills expert. I don't know if this is just a difference in the types of women or these two specific groups of women, but certainly much more controlled than what I saw on the New York reunion. And so I was comparing it in my brain, and I was like, well, actually, they're really controlling themselves. And so that was the first thing I thought of when I watched this. But I don't like seeing what I saw on the New York reunion. I don't mind them not going totally over the top with each other, because that's embarrassing to us as women. I mean, you still act civilized, yeah. And you can get strong with each other, but don't act like animals. So I hope they don't get too crazy, but I have a feeling with the next two parts, they may, you know, disappoint me. But I don't mind it without that much drama, like a New York reunion. Yeah.
I definitely have to say that it's hard to compare, because you guys are comparing it to New York, and I'm comparing it more to, like, New Jersey and Atlanta, where they're getting up out of their seat trying to fight each other, and Andy's having to stand up and hold them back, and he's getting pushed and whatnot. And I think that's so inappropriate. Like you said, Jackie, I don't like watching that. I think that it's so immature, and I think that the Beverly Hills ladies are just a totally different group of girls, a totally different breed. They're a lot classier, and I don't necessarily think we're gonna see them, you know, getting to that level. I think they're more just catty jabs at each other, which sometimes even hurts more, because when you're digging that deep, rather than just calling someone an effing bitch or whatnot, the jabs are the ones that really get to you and that stick with you. And even, I'm sure we'll get into it later, but when Andy asked Lisa if her and Adrian would be able to come back from this, she was like, I'll have to think about it. And that was just from a couple minutes of them going back and forth on the reunion show. So I think they're just totally different.
They're kind of classier about it, except for Brandy. I have a feeling, and we'll talk about this in predictions, that she won't be so classy about it. But in general, they're classier about it. But yeah, they're almost more passive-aggressive about it. Like, they say kind of, like, underhanded or backhanded comments to each other. Mm-hmm. So they're not, like, flipping chairs, but they're, you know, they're bitchy in their own right. But let's get into, before we talk about Taylor, just what I thought was all the shocking attacks on Lisa. Like, the whole season long, I kept thinking, okay, this whole Lisa-Adrian drama, it has to be produced. Lisa and Adrian are the two most down-to-earth ones on the show. They're the two most, like, normal, practical with it, and not that dramatic. And so when, you know, they got into the drama about Las Vegas and the drama about the shoe, which there wasn't that much drama about the shoes, like, on the show, you know, I just thought, okay, this must be produced. This must be producer meddling. But then I totally changed my mind after the reunion, because Adrian seemed, like, genuinely upset. And all I can say is, for the very first time of two seasons long of watching Adrian, I've lost respect for her. I've always thought that she was the classiest. She never got involved in the drama. I thought she always had a good head on her shoulders. Except she seemed to be so upset about the pettiest comments. It's like, I can't understand how, like, Lisa's personality may come off as abrasive, because she has that joking personality. But for God's sake, learn to take a joke. I mean, to get so upset about a Maloof hoof, or, like, calling her dog a crackpot on Twitter. Like, are you seriously that upset about that? That's just so petty to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, I really was like, the first thing I wrote down was like, wow, Adrian's so over the top right now. And I think I was thinking about it, and I think the problem is when you have a really strong mindset like Adrian, you're not afraid to come through in certain situations, but at the same time, if you're wrong, you look really stupid. And this is where she looked really stupid. I like that she always believes in herself, and I feel like I wanted to say it was produced, but then I thought, you know, I don't think Adrian would go for that, because she's a very strong personality. I think she really believed what she was saying, but I just don't understand it, because it really was the pettiest. The reasons were the pettiest I've heard. I mean, the Maloof hoof, come on. I mean, totally ridiculous. And Lisa is also very controlled, and I could tell she was trying so hard to keep that sort of English, you know, her manners about her. But if I were being faced with Adrian's you know, what Adrian was throwing at her, I might have lost it because it was so ridiculous. And then with the thing about being paid with the stories, well, I'm sure we'll get to it.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that. I just wanted to say just the first parts about the shoes and about Vegas, I just thought, like, are you really that upset about these things?
You mentioned earlier, Mari, that you saw how genuinely upset Adrian was. And that was one of the first things that I noticed as well. She looked like she was about to cry pretty much the majority of the episode. And I just feel like sometimes someone as confident as Adrian is so used to having, you know, so much power over what she does and having everything that she does praised, especially, I mean, she owns a casino and she owns a basketball team. Like, those are such big accomplishments that her feelings probably get hurt so easily because she's not used to people ever criticizing what she does or saying anything, you know, because she...
I would think the opposite because she's so in the public limelight with all of those things that I think that you'd have to build a thick skin to get that far in business.
But I feel like she is not only a powerful woman on her own, but she comes from a powerful family and then she has married into and formed a whole new powerful family. So maybe she just hasn't really ever had to face that kind of criticism. I don't know. I agree with you guys both that it's such a petty thing for her to get upset about. I felt like we were in kindergarten, especially when she was correcting Lisa on the color of the shoes. They're blush, not pink. Whatever.
Yeah.
But I just felt like it was so immature, but I definitely think that there might be something that we're not seeing because I feel like we've jumped to such an extreme level that we didn't see for the past, four or five months, and something isn't being explained to us in full.
Yeah. Well, they did say, and we'll talk about it, I want to get into the, you know, the leaking stories now because what if Kyle said, like, there's more to the eye than you know? Or what did she say?
She did,
yeah,
I remember.
She basically said, she, like, alluded to the fact that there was something more going on between the two of them, and I'm guessing, I don't know if it either wasn't discussed or if it was the whole story leaking thing. I mean, the story leaking thing also kind of came out of nowhere. That easily could have not been a part of the reunion at all, because the story leaking was not a question probed by Andy. That came out of the whole Chef Bernie discussion. And you know what? With the whole Chef Bernie thing, I agree with Lisa. Basically, this guy who works for Adrian is trashing her close friend. You need to say something. Like, he works for you. And Lisa was like, I would say something, and I agree she would. And I believe she would, because you saw at the party, she, at the store reopening, she threw out her waitress just because it made Brandy feel uncomfortable. So I bet you anything, if one of her Billabong employees was saying something bad about Adrian, she would stick up for Adrian or say something to her. So I totally agree with Lisa here. Before we get into the whole story-selling thing, just on the whole Bernie-Adrian thing, what did you guys think?
I just thought the whole thing with Bernie was kind of just ridiculous to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, I do side with Lisa anyway, but I just feel like at the beginning of this, these couple of things that were being discussed, I'm like, these are the most ridiculous things to be talking about of all the things we could be talking about with these women in this season. You know, certainly you want to cover everything, but I just felt like I just didn't get this. I didn't get this back and forth. Like, I thought these were the least pertinent things that happened throughout such a big dramatic season. I didn't even, you know, I did side with Lisa, but I also thought it was just ridiculous to even go back and forth about this.
I side with Lisa as well. I think that Adrian should have stood up for her, especially, you know, maybe their friendship is fizzling out right now, but beforehand, it seemed to us that they were a lot closer. And I also get the fact that Bernie's her employee and maybe he's been working for her for many years and they're close and whatnot. So she either needs to be completely neutral or figure something out. But I definitely can see why Lisa would be upset about that, because I would be upset about that as well, especially if I had to watch it on TV and hear them talking all this mess about me. But I agree, it was completely ridiculous. And I feel like at that point, Adrian was kind of just pulling as many things out of the bag as possible. It's almost like when you're really pissed off at someone and you just bundle all these things up, and then every little thing after that annoys you because you just aren't letting it out. And you're like, and then this happened, and then you did that, and then this. And so I feel like she was just pulling every little thing out that she could just to throw it in Lisa's face that she's upset with her and that this is the kind of person that she's painted her out to be.
Yeah, and then the thing that bothered me the most, first of all, I kind of think that Bernie is maybe trying to look for his 15 minutes of fame here. Like, he has his own, like, Twitter fan page, and I think he's kind of trying to carve out a name for himself, and so what better than to insert himself into the show by getting involved in the drama a little bit. But the thing that I found most shocking was for Adrian to bring up the story selling. Like, it came out of that conversation, and it didn't have to be said. And I totally agree with Lisa here. I actually wish out of the three of us, one of us saw Adrian's side on this, so we would have a more, like, you know, balanced conversation about it. But I really can't see Adrian's side on this. So hopefully if one of our listeners is listening, they can call in and defend Adrian, because it sounds like all three of us are Team Lisa all the way. But I just thought it was absolutely terrible to allege that, and she did more than allege. She was like, I know for a fact that Lisa is selling stories for $21,000. First of all, I highly, highly doubt that, but is selling stories to the media about them. What does Lisa have to gain about that? Maybe someone like a Taylor who's in financial trouble.
Yeah.
But not someone like Lisa, who is after Adrian or neck and neck with Adrian, is the wealthiest on the show. What does she have to gain by that? And look at the source who's telling you that. A Radar reporter is saying, Lisa pays me. Like the fact that Camille believed him when, this Radar reporter, when they turned to Camille and said, oh, you know, let's buy a story from you. And Camille said, and they say, oh, Lisa does it all the time. They're saying that to try to get you to sell a story. Like, why would you believe that person? On top of believing that person, why would you accuse Lisa of it on camera? And I just thought the whole thing was totally, totally disgusting and distasteful. And I totally agree with Lisa saying, you know, I can't believe you. This is a character assassination. This is defamation. This is a low blow. I 100% agree. And you know what? It's going to be interesting if both of them are on season three, because I think there's going to be a huge, like, schism and feud between these two ladies long running. I mean, after you accuse someone of that, it's hard to come back from that.
Absolutely. I think that the reason the three of us agree is because it's very hard to see Adrian's side here. I think it was a very clear battle here, and if there is a listener who sides with Adrian on this, please call us at 424-256-1729, because I can't imagine anybody siding with Adrian besides people who know Adrian very well and are friends with her, because it just made zero sense. And this is where Adrian's strength and confidence, I think she's rarely wrong, but here she's wrong and she just looks embarrassing. And I admire her for her strength and her confidence, but be right about what you're being strong and confident about. And I think it was just stupidity on her and Camille's part to believe this Radar person, and that's what's making them look stupid, because they're believing this person and going in there with their guns blazing, when really, I think, I absolutely do not believe that. I don't believe Lisa needs a reason to sell stories. As you said, Taylor, maybe I would believe it, but I do not for one second believe it with Lisa. And so I think it's just making Adrian look really, really bad.
The thing that bothered me the most about Adrian last night is that all of her arguments were based off of he said, she said. It was all, I heard this from someone, or I wasn't there, but someone told me this. And that just, I lost all respect for her there, because her credibility is down the drain. You can't accuse someone, you can't say, I know for a fact, when you don't know for a fact, because that person is not a fact, like someone else telling you. And so that really bothered me that she would attack someone like Lisa based off of what she's heard from other people. At first, I was really frustrated that Camille chimed in and said that she heard the same thing, because there you go again, I heard that too. But then it made things a little better when she explained what she heard and how she heard it, because then that made Adrian look even more stupid for accusing Lisa. And I think that, you know, maybe you girls saw differently, but when Adrian apologized at the end and she's like, I'm sorry. I couldn't tell if she was being sincere and was just like, you know, I feel really stupid now, or if she was just being sarcastic. Because, you know, when Lisa said sorry earlier in the episode, it didn't really seem the most sincere. But, I mean, Lisa might as well have blatantly just said, I don't need that money. Why? What did she say? It was like $100 or something like that. But I think after a while, Adrian kind of started to feel a little insignificant.
Yeah, I just thought that was such a low blow on Adrian's part, and I think it'll end up being a major storyline in season three if they're both on it. And then the other person who attacked Lisa was Kyle, which I wasn't so surprised by this because Kyle tends to have an attacking nature, which is funny because she is accusing Lisa of every move is so calculated, she's so manipulative, and I'm glad Lisa called on it. She's like, I'm scared of your temper too. Like, you know what I mean? They're both very similar personalities, and I think there's more to it than we know, because I guess, you know, Lisa didn't know until Kyle said it on camera that Lisa likes to prey on the weak, and then I guess he later on said a comment about the splits. But again,
which
like,
I don't understand.
So
did she see that episode before?
Split. Yeah, it's like, so she made a comment about the splits. Like, why are you guys taking yourself so seriously? Like, I couldn't understand it, and I thought Kyle was in the wrong here, too. I was Team Lisa on this one, too.
This is another example of Kyle sneaking in as the surprise drama queen of the season for me. I mean, Taylor, obvious. Kyle, she sneaks in there with her drama for me. And I'm really like, I really get annoyed with Kyle sometimes, because as much as I like her a lot of the time, when she gets like this, she just becomes like this unnecessary drama queen for me. And if I was shocked by it with Adrian, I was also annoyed by it with Kyle, not maybe as much shocked because she's gotten herself in there throughout the season. But I really am not a fan of Kyle when she becomes like this out-of-nowhere drama queen like this. And she's really, second to Taylor, kind of annoying me, possibly, you know, the most out of all the women. I mean, I really just, I've kind of had it with Kyle creating these attacks when I don't think they make sense. And again, if you're Lisa, yeah, you're going to stick up for yourself, and I'm glad she did.
I was very annoyed with Kyle because I felt like she was trying to play both sides. She would mention how much she loves Lisa and how great of a friend she is, and then she would say something like, every move is very calculated and you're very manipulative. So she was definitely trying to play both sides, and you could tell it's something that they've all spoken about, you know, previously behind Lisa's back or whatnot. And so it was clear whose side she was on. And I think that going off of the drama queen thing, Jackie, I think that a lot of the tension between Adrian and Lisa last night was because of Kyle, because she kept chiming in when she didn't need to and throwing in little tidbits here and there, trying to take sides when it really is none of her business.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see how the reunion progresses in part two with Lisa, because it seems like there's, like, we didn't see the end of the attacks. It seemed like there was more Lisa and Adrian and other things. So, you know, you'd hope or think that the girls would take it easy on her in part two, but it doesn't look like they do. So that, to me, was the most shocking part of the reunion special, was just the whole full-out attack of Lisa. The whole Taylor thing, I wasn't really that surprised by the conversation or what the girls even said about it. The two things that stood out to me most here were, one, just Taylor in general. If I had heard Andy Cohen say that she held up pretty well and wasn't really crying, she barely did cry. And she also was pretty quiet and pretty calm, like, just throughout the whole discussion about the email and about Camille. She didn't really, like, say, like, I'm going to go Oklahoma on your ass and do all the things that she's done in the past. She kind of was pretty calm. And then the only other thing, and we'll talk about this separately, was it did surprise me, you know, that the Housewives didn't seem to agree on one page that the season should have or should have not aired. Like, it seemed like they had differing opinions. But let's just talk about Taylor at first. I don't know. I just thought it was a very, very sad thing. The whole thing about all the text messages, about all the abuse of text he sent, about how she I don't know, the whole thing was very sad that she said that sometimes she would just tell him to hit her to end a fight faster. I mean, I thought it was shockingly, terribly sad and heartbreaking. What did you guys think?
I think I need to be as reserved as Taylor, because I think I'm going to sound like a bad person where I still don't feel bad for her. Like, I feel bad for her that she would go through anything that she's talking about. But there's something in me when I watch Taylor, even as controlled as she was, whether she got advice from her doctor or the producers or just maybe in her own brain realized I look embarrassing and I should stop acting the way I have been, or maybe she was freed by the Russell situation. Whatever it was, she was quieter. She was calm. She was controlled. That I'll say. But there were just so moments about her where it's like when she talks about this stuff, I don't see a person who's being strong for the sake of the women watching. I just don't buy that. If that were the case, and that's like why Adrian says it's a good idea to air it and things like that in the book, and if you buy that with Taylor, then I get it. But I don't buy it with Taylor. Like, there's moments like the quivering lip and her looking off in the distance. At one point, there were those Taylor moments that peaked out that were her all season for me, which is more, it's more about being on TV and being in the cameras and the fame whore thing going on with Taylor, that there's just something that doesn't click for Taylor with me still, even though this was the most controlled and well-behaved she's been. You know, you would think she'd come around and all this stuff, but there's just, I'm not buying it with Taylor. I wish that were the case, but I wish I agree with Adrian, but I don't think that's the reasoning. And it may make me sound like a bad person, but I don't know if anyone else out there agrees with me.
I definitely, you know, we've talked earlier about how awkward the whole situation is in general. And so, you know, the housewives didn't have a whole lot to say about the situation because it's kind of like, what else can you really say? I was a little bothered by the fact that the main points of the conversation seem to be about how bad of a person that Russell is when, you know, obviously he's not here to defend himself or anything like that. And so I would have rather had, you know, after Russell died, Taylor made the conscious decision to stay with the show and to be there for every appearance and to be on the reunion show and whatnot. And so I would have rather had Andy hit her with the hard questions, because what I want to know is, how come after your husband died, you're still just weeks later out making appearances to parties and social events and clubs and not showing those signs of remorse? And yeah, maybe you weren't in what, the premiere episode or something, I don't know. But so soon after, you know, and even Brandy, who we'll see, I guess, next week, this book, it's so soon and we're not seeing this remorse. And I wanted to hear Andy ask her those questions, because
if you're not going to get it from Andy, it sounds like next week you're going to get it from Brandy.
Yeah, I hope so, because that's what I want to know as the viewer, as someone that's been following this for the past couple months, because that's what I see. I see a woman who lost her husband and is not showing any sort of remorse. And I think it's really sad.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you guys about the email, only because I do believe Taylor here. Once again, Adrian is coming out with these accusations just based off of, like, secondhand hearing it from someone else. And I just think that she's being so careless about what she says on camera that I've lost respect for her. She basically said, oh, well, I ran into Brandy, and Brandy told me that Taylor wrote the email with Russell. And so you believe it because Brandy told you? You know what I mean? It's like, ask the source. And when Taylor explains the entire situation, that she was in Vegas on her birthday and she got this terrible text from her husband, and then she didn't have her phone and her husband got pissed, and by the time she got home, the email had already been sent, I believe her there. I think she knew about the email, but I don't think she knew about the contents of the email. It sounds like Russell was very upset. He was upset at his wife. He was upset at the whole situation, and he wrote this very aggressive email while she was in Vegas, and I believe that. I don't know. Where do you guys stand on that?
I actually agree. I really don't think she knew what the email said, or even if she did, I'm not going to put blame on her for all the things I say about Taylor. I'm not going to put blame on her for the whole email thing. Obviously, Russell, there's so much wrong with the situation. The last thing I care about, actually, is whether or not she knew what the email said. Because there's so much more I'd want to know and want to throw at Taylor than whether she knew what the content of that email was. That's just kind of where I stand. And I totally was not, again, not loving Adrian through this. I thought she looked really bad again.
I wouldn't say that, you know, Taylor was with Russell when he wrote it or that she knew verbatim what it said. But I do think that there was a part of her that knew that he was going to send some sort of inappropriate email to Camille. And she knows Russell's behavior. She knows how he acts. And so I feel like there was a part of her that probably knew it might be threatening. It might, you know, this isn't the first time that Russell has brought up bringing his lawyers into this or into a situation, because he brought the same thing up with Kyle and Mauricio over dinner when they were discussing the fact that they thought that Lisa had sold a story about them. And so I think that I definitely don't think that Taylor was in the dark about this. I think she had an idea of what was going on. And granted, you know, she has an alibi. She was in Vegas with Lisa, and I don't think she's lying about that, but I do think that she is not being completely honest about the fact that she had no idea what was going on with this email.
Yeah. I think she knew about the email, but I don't think she knew to the level of aggression of like what he would say in the email, and I do believe her on that one. I guess she'd be two-faced, but that's how I feel. But what I thought was so interesting was just all the different ladies' opinions on whether the show should have aired, and now that we've seen the show completely, I'm just curious where our opinion stands, because I know where Jackie's and mine stood in the beginning when they first started airing it. I think we thought it was a little too soon and inappropriate. Adrian took the side of it should have aired. You know, it's a way to spread awareness about domestic violence and suicide, whereas Camille took the side of didn't think it should air, just if anything, for the sake of Russell's children. And Taylor kind of bypassed the whole question, basically saying, you know, I couldn't even focus on the show airing, you know, it didn't even matter to me just because of everything else that was going on in my life. I don't know if I believe her. I think that, like, that's a pretty big deal that she probably, like, if she felt strongly about it one way or the other, like, either take a stand, like, you know what, I think that this should have been aired because it shows awareness, or, you know what, like, yeah, I need to protect my kids here. I think it was kind of weird that she bypassed a question like this. I don't know. I'm personally siding with Camille here. While as a viewer, I enjoyed watching the show. Like, as someone involved in the show, I think that Taylor probably should have thought about his kids a little bit more, because he does have two kids from a previous marriage too. Mm-hmm. And so now they're seeing like the final last downfall of this sad man in his life, and apparently his narcissism, as Taylor calls it. So I don't know where you guys stand on that, or whether you were surprised by what they said.
I absolutely agree with Camille. I mean, I kind of stand by exactly what we said in the beginning, Mari, and I agree that as a viewer who has no relation to any of these people, of course you're going to watch it, and, you know, if it's on, you're going to watch it, but that's where comes the fine line, is the children and the people connected to these people in real life that this affects. And that's why I'm so bothered with Taylor, because I don't buy her goods as far as it's for women and for this and that. No, I think she needs the paycheck, or she wants the fame, or she doesn't want to lose her place in all this. But she's not thinking about her daughter by letting it air. And her saying that she let it air because she was so busy paying attention to her daughter is completely 100% wrong, in my opinion. And if I agree with anybody, I absolutely agree with Camille. And I don't think Camille was saying that because of the Tea Party, as she said. I believe her when she said that. I don't think that was her opinion because of the Tea Party.
I, in the beginning, did not think the show should air, and I still stand by that I don't think the show should air. And like you guys have all said, and like Camille said, for the sake of his children at least, because I think a lot of people tend to forget, like you mentioned, Mari, that he does have other children. It's not just Kennedy. But also for his family, and just for the respect of grieving over someone. I think when he first died, if I remember correctly, his sister was on Dr. Phil, and I think another family friend was on another talk show, and they were expressing their concern and their disappointment in the show airing and Taylor allowing it to go on and going about things the way she was. And I just think it was all too soon. And now looking back, I have to stand by it because I don't remember a single positive portrayal of Russell this season. So I think it's really unfortunate that his family had to watch that and see him put in that light, and that those are going to be, you know, their memories of him, because his name is still in the press. And now with the reunion show, it's he's still being talked about, and it's just not going to go to rest anytime soon.
Yeah. I want to know how you guys feel about Taylor's claim that one reason why she even did the show in the first place, she said Russell agreed to do the show because he's a narcissist. I don't know, maybe they needed the money, I think would be a better reason. She said one reason why she decided to do the show was to protect herself, because it could have turned into a murder-suicide, and she knew that if the cameras were there, then she would be protected. Even if she feels that way, I still think that that's not an accusation to make. You still have a child with this man, and now this child is going to grow up, and like that's a pretty large charge to make. That now you're calling the guy a possible murderer. Like, I don't know if that was the best way to handle that, or the best reason to say that you're doing a reality show. I think she probably was doing a reality show more for the fame and the attention, but she couldn't have foreseen what happened. But I think that's the reason why she signed on to season two more than the reason of having cameras protect her.
Yeah, I actually had mentioned that on one of the shows that might have been a reasoning. I mean, it's possible, but I don't think it justifies doing it. I mean, I think it's possible justification in her brain. That doesn't mean it's right, though.
I agree. I mean, I know in the episode last night, Kyle mentioned you can't judge until you put yourself in her shoes. And so I don't really know what to say about that situation, if it was as bad as she says it is or whatnot, and if that was her outlet or if she just wanted to be famous. And so I guess I just take it for what it is.
Yeah, I still don't think it was appropriate, and Kennedy's 5 now, but, I mean, she'll grow up and she'll see all this footage, and I feel bad for her out of everyone involved. I feel the worst for her. But finally, before we get into the news and gossip and the predictions, let's talk about Brandy. We only saw the tiniest little bit. She obviously is going to be more of a major player next week. But I just already love the little bit that we did see of her. I mean, she basically, her and Camille are in very similar situations because they're both in these sad divorces where they're not even able to talk to their ex-husbands. They have to talk to their assistants to co-parent their children. But I loved how she was like, well, your husband was famous, not mine. But I'm excited to see what she has in store.
Absolutely. I love Brandy. I really do. I really think she brings the drama queen, like the kind of not evil character, but the evil character you want to watch, you know? I really think Brandy brings something great to these women, almost kind of what they wanted to do in New York.
Jackie,
yes?
Sorry not to cut you off. Your connection's really bad here. Would you mind calling back and perhaps we'll have a better feed? Because you're saying great stuff, and I can understand it, but hopefully the audience can too. So I just want to give them the best. Thank you, Jackie.
Good.
Jessica, what are your thoughts?
Well, the thing I love about Brandy is that she's able to make light of every situation. She obviously went through a very public divorce, just like Camille, and it's not an easy thing to go through, especially when there are kids involved. But the fact that she's sitting here and she's joking about it and, you know, not trying to have a pity party and making everyone feel sorry for her, I love that about her. And I love that she has such a hilarious sense of humor and that she's just real about everything. Real about everything. That's one thing about Brandy, is that I don't question the things that are coming out of her mouth. Most of the time, I'm usually agreeing with her. And so I definitely like that part about her.
Well, Well, I want to hear about Jackie's opinion before we go to a commercial break. Okay. I will say, because we didn't really mention this, though I do think that there will be more of this next episode, is the whole Camille Taylor thing. We touched on email, but just on the reason why Camille decided to say those things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they really got into the root of it, because it looked like in the previews, Camille and Taylor get into it more next episode. But Camille basically says, you know, you don't go on a reality show with all these private lies, and to say that I'm the one who, like, did all of this to you really upsets me. You told all of us this. I'm glad Camille stuck up for herself in that sense, and I was surprised, because Taylor really could have gotten into it more there, and you could tell on her face she was holding back. Like, you could tell, I still don't think Taylor agrees that Camille should have brought up the abuse on camera at that point in the game. I know she's later on said, I think she went on Watch What Happens Live and said, like, yes, I agree, I think Camille, like, helped save me, but I still think she was holding something back. I still don't think she agrees with what Camille did.
I love that Camille called her out on this, and I love that Camille did a play-by-play of what she said, because we were able to see that she asked Taylor, do you want me to really say this? And Taylor was trying to be a little sassy about it and was like, oh, go ahead, say it. And she did. And it's Taylor's the one that admitted she thought she was talking about something else. Regardless, that is a really hefty secret to have to keep in when all of those girls are buzzing about it amongst themselves. They don't know if it's true. They don't know what to believe, because Taylor's coming up with a different story all the time. And you get to the point where you're just like, either I'm going to say something or just stop talking to me. So I don't blame Camille for feeling that way. And I'm glad she said something.
Ladies, yeah. I am back on the line just in time, because that was my best moment, actually, of the finale, because it just confirmed exactly the way I feel about Taylor, is that I don't buy for 1 second that she misread what Camille was saying. For Camille to play that out for us, and for her to imitate exactly what Taylor did in that scene, and that's why she said that, for Taylor to backtrack and say that's not what she was talking about, how could you misconceive that? Of course that's what Camille would be referring to. So that is just totally calling Taylor out. And I'm curious to know what you think, Mari, because you stood by that for so long that you don't think Camille should have said anything. After hearing that, do you change your opinion?
The thing is, it ends up becoming such a central storyline, regardless of whether Camille said it. Like, because later on, you see that they got divorced. You saw at the party that she had a bruise, and they ended up talking about it anyways. I guess even if Camille hadn't said anything, you would have known about the abuse on the show. So in that sense, I think it's all right that she said it. I still don't think that, like, I wish that that was not a storyline on the show. Like, I wish that Taylor's abuse was kept private and was not a storyline, because I think that that was a fragile storyline. But, I mean, regardless of Camille saying it, it became a storyline. So
it is a fragile storyline.
Really, my issue with her saying it.
It is a fragile storyline, but just like Camille said, you don't go on a reality show when you're leading that kind of life that you don't want to get leaked out to the public. It's just, it's inevitable. There's no way around it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think if Camille hadn't said something, it would have gotten out on the show regardless. So that I will say. But Jackie, I want you to finish up your comments on Brandy, and then we'll go to a quick commercial break.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think I was just basically saying, agreeing with you guys, that Brandy is the breath of fresh air. She's like the villain in a good way, calls everybody out, kind of like, I don't know if you guys heard me say this or not, but kind of like Cindy. I think that they hoped what Cindy would do for New York Housewives, and she didn't deliver. I think that Brandy delivered. She came in and kind of called everybody out with her realness, and she gets away with it, and you like her anyway. And I love watching Brandy, and I think she's going to bring a lot to part two of this finale or reunion.
Although I will say, I like I said earlier, I think Brandy's real, and I love that about her. But I feel like she might be using a little bit of that to her advantage based on some of the stories that have been that we've been hearing about her in the media. So I think it'll be interesting to see how things play out with her next season for sure.
Well, we're going to get into that in both news and gossip and prediction because she's in both. So let's go to a quick commercial break and then we'll come back to some news and gossip.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about? AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so let's talk about Brandy first. I mean, I think everyone caught this. If you were watching Watch What Happens Live after the finale last week, Brandy dropped a bombshell and said, Andy asked her, have you had any other celebrity hookups? And she said, Gerard Butler. And he was like, oh, is this a one-night stand thing? And she said it went on for a week. This is so embarrassing. What a slap in the face. Cameras then asked Gerard Butler, and he said, who's Brandy Glanville? And then they went back to her, and they said, did you see that he doesn't even know who you are? And she said, I'm not going to comment on this anymore. I'm not allowed to comment on it anymore, basically, was what she was insinuating. What I think happened is he does know who she is, and he's just pissed that she said something. So he pretended not to know anything about it, and then obviously his camp got to her and said, you know, shut your mouth. She's a celebrity. Don't say those things. And, you know, she was told not to say anything, was probably threatened. I still think, what a dick move of Gerard Butler to act like he didn't even know who she was and not remember her. Like, what a, ugh, that's such a dick move, I think.
I totally agree. I mean, if you're gonna, you know, get it on with Brandy, then face the consequences. I don't think he should be allowed to cover it up. I mean, if you're in the public spotlight, that's bound to come out. So I don't agree with Camp kind of shutting Brandy up about this, and I think that's exactly what happened.
I was cracking up when I read this story. I thought it was the most embarrassing thing ever. I cannot even imagine. Actually, when we reached out to Brandy at E, her response was, well, he's a very private person. So it was very obvious that she was trying to save face to whatever extent that she could. But I also think that she should know better than to be calling out the celebrities that she's hooked up with. And that's kind of an immature, kind of amateur move on her part, I thought. So I guess, you know, kind of got what she deserved, the way I see it.
No, but still, what she did, it's like, it's not, she's a hot girl. Like, at least own up to it. And it's not like Gerard Butler is a married man. It's not like he has this perfect, pristine image of being a goody-two-shoes guy. It's already pretty well known in Hollywood that he is kind of a ladies' man, so at least own up to it. I just thought it was so low of him to pretend he didn't even know who she was. That hurts. That's just, it's embarrassing.
What can you do?
Yeah, I agree with you, Mari.
I guess lesson learned for her.
Yeah.
Keep your mouth shut. But let's move on to Kyle. She was on Khloe Kardashian's very first radio show in Dallas yesterday and talking about how she wants more babies. She's 43 years old. She said, I think my clock is ticking really loud, but I want another one. It makes my husband nervous because he says it depends on her Amex bill that month. Keep in mind, she has one daughter, Farrah, from a previous marriage, and then she has three daughters with Mauricio. So that's four kids already. She said, I want another one so badly, but it's hard with everything I'm doing. Four is a lot.
And then she talked to Kris Jenner, and Kris Jenner basically tried to talk her into it. She said, I'm a bad influence. I would tell you to have a million, because she already has 6 kids. And so I think Richard was trying to emulate Jenner and get the 6. We'll see. I think 43 is a little old. She already has 4, I think she said.
Yeah, and I think she's juggling a lot, and she should probably focus on the kids she has, especially since Portia's still so young, and just focus on spoiling her and letting her have a great childhood.
I agree more.
Yeah. And now, I didn't get a chance to ask Kevin about this when I interviewed him last week, but apparently this spinoff that Lisa's doing, Kevin is involved in it. He basically said that he can't really say anything and you'll have to see what happens, but he did say that they are working on something related to the spinoff. And so the only thing I can imagine is, because her book that she has out is about hosting parties, maybe the spinoff, I mean, we talked about how it's involving the new store opening, so maybe he's doing some of the flowers and the decorating for store, or in general it's a show about hosting. It obviously has some sort of vein of that involved, it sounds like.
Maybe he's going to expand his wedding planning to just party planning in general as well. I don't know. You know how Kyle always
has his own show on TLC too. So I don't know if it's in general more focused on him. It might be for pursuits and he's involved somewhat, because obviously I think he was a hit this season and the two of them together were a hit because they butt heads a lot. And so I'm not surprised that he's going to be featured in the spinoff.
I was going to say, I wonder if they're doing some kind of planning show together, kind of a gimmick, like we're planning people's parties or still weddings or something. But if he has his own show already, then maybe that would be the angle. But obviously, make a good team. I would love to watch more of them.
I think it would be interesting to see what angle that he is trying to take, because in the show that he has on TLC, it's Beverly Hills Brides, and it's basically you know, these $1 million brides come into this dress shop and try on dresses, and he is like the store owner's really close friend, and he just doesn't really have a whole lot of purpose on the show. He just kind of comes in and gives some input on the dresses, but it's always kind of like a I was just stopping by kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to see how involved he gets to be with Lisa's show and what role he takes on that.
Yeah, well, all I know is all three of us will be watching, so looking forward to this spinoff shaping up. But let's get into some predictions for next week.
Well, I wanted to I had one more news and gossip that I had read about.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
And these are, I wanted to get you girls' opinion because they're kind of all over the place, but there's definitely been a lot of buzz about who might be replacing Taylor or Camille or joining the show. This morning it came down that the producers have contacted Sylvester Stallone's wife. And apparently this is the second time that they've contacted her. They actually initially contacted her supposedly when the rumors first surfaced that Camille wasn't going to come back to the second season, and she turned them down, and I guess that they're going back to her. A lot of people saying that they think this is going to be a great move because they're comparing her to Adrian, because apparently she has her own business and she's a very successful, confident woman on her own outside of having a super famous husband. And then there's also been some rumors circling around that Vanessa Bryant might be interested, Kobe Bryant's ex-wife.
There's no way they're going to get her to do that.
Which I think is interesting, because I've also heard that she's been approached for Basketball Wives LA as well. So I don't know what's going on with that. But then also Lisa Gastineau is circling around in those rumors of people that might be joining as well. So it'll be interesting to see who actually comes on now that it looks like Dana won't be returning. Maybe they're definitely going to need someone else, and I think they're going to need a strong, hopefully powerful, non-Taylor-like woman.
Yeah, Dana is definitely on the chopping block. I mean, she's not even in the reunion at all. Even when they're talking about her $25,000 sunglasses, she's not there to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think Vanessa Bryant is going to do that, or basketball-wise, or any reality show. She just got millions and millions of dollars, so she obviously isn't for want of money, and she doesn't strike me as someone who's for want of fame. So I would be shocked. And if she did, I think Kobe would take her to court.
Yeah.
So I just really don't think that that's going to happen. Lisa Gastineau is likely, just because she already has had her own reality show and she doesn't have that much money. She's seeking fame already. Her daughter is on the Kardashians a lot. I don't think she'd be that interesting to me. She's just kind of a hub then. And then, as for Sly Stallone's wife, I think that would be interesting because they're still currently married. That's why I don't know if she do it. It's more up to him, but I don't know. That would be interesting. I think out of all three, she would be the most interesting. I mean, I think Vanessa would be. I just don't think she'd do it.
Actually, a little inside scoop. I actually have a family. Someone in my family knows her personally, and I wonder if I can find anything out. But I certainly can say that she's a very, very respectable woman and hardworking woman, and I highly doubt that she'd be interested in joining this group, but you know, you never know. All I know is she's a very kind, hardworking woman, so I don't know how she'd fall into the mix, but I can try and find out.
Well, you know what, Jackie, I love that you said that, because that's what a lot of the stories were saying, that, you know, their sources were telling them that that's why they think she would be so great on the show, because she's so confident and hardworking and just a respectable woman. And apparently she turned them down once before, so it would make sense that she might not want to be involved with something like that. But they did mention that she is personally friends with a few of the girls on the show, and so maybe that's why producers are really trying hard to get her on there.
Well, Jackie, let's hope that you can get the scoop for us in time for our finale part two next week.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's get into the predictions for next week's finale, because it looks even more dramatic than this week.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, so, Jessica, you mentioned this about how Brandy calls Taylor out on her fame seeking. I'm glad she does, and I just want to see what goes down, because I love how she said to her, when did the book come out? It's been a hot minute.
Referencing
the fact that she already came out with a book so close after the death. And I just, it seems like Brandy and Taylor really get into it over Taylor's behavior since the death, and I'm glad that someone said something.
Absolutely. I cannot wait to see what Brandy brings to the table with this. Really looking forward to watching that argument, conversation, whatever you want to call it, play out.
I totally agree. I'm so excited to see part two, because like I mentioned earlier, these are the questions that I want to know the answers to. And these are the questions that unfortunately Andy is not asking for whatever reason. So I'm so glad that there's someone like Brandy there to step in and grab the reins and just, you know, talk about the real issue at hand. And I'm also glad that she's going to bring up, you know, the beginning of the season where we saw Kyle and Kim kind of attack her a little bit or gang up on her. I mean, it was kind of both ways, you know, but for Kyle to be standing up for Adrian against Lisa about how mean Lisa is and how manipulative she is and how they're so offended by her petty comments, Kyle never seems to get reprimanded for the mean things that she does. And she's like one of the number one crap talkers about everyone on this show. And she's always stirring the pot. And so I want someone to put her in her place as well.
Yeah. Well, Brandy's definitely going to put her in her place. I think we're going to get a lot more of Taylor. Like I said, it seems like Taylor and Camille, it's not over between them, because I was surprised by how restrained Taylor was with Camille this episode. But I think they're going to get into it more. And it's just so sad hearing more about Taylor's story, talking about how her jaw popped out of its socket and then she put it back in over the toilet. Like, that's just so absolutely horrendous and terrible. If anything, the only thing I hope that comes out of it is it does raise awareness and makes women stronger if they're facing a terrible situation like that. I just thought that was so sad, and I don't know what we're going to see from Taylor. She held up pretty well this first episode. I don't know if she's going to hold up as well next week.
Yeah, I think if she's going to break down, it's definitely coming. And I certainly agree that I don't know if it's reasoning for really doing all this, but if it does raise awareness, that at least brings some light, you know, to the tunnel here for the way I feel about storyline and her involvement in the show.
I think it's hard to tell from the previews how everything's going to go down. I think if she's going to break down, just from past experience, I see it being about something more so that has to do with the girls than being something that has to do with Russell. So, we'll see.
Yeah, let's see. And finally, somehow there's even more Lisa and Adrian. Like, I was shocked that there was so much of it this episode, and I'm shocked that there's still more that they're fighting about. But apparently there's real beef between the two of them, and I'm just... like, they've already laid ground on Vegas and the shoe line and the story selling and Bernie, that I'm wondering what's left that these two women are fighting about.
I'm telling you, there's got to be something that we don't know. There's got to be something bigger for them to be fighting over such petty things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do feel like I'm missing something.
All right, well, we're going to get into all of that next week on part two. So I'm so glad that I'll have the two of you, and we'll have Pamela. Maybe she'll be Team Adrian, because we got apparently three Team Lisa all the way. But everyone, stay tuned next week, same time, same place, and thanks for tuning in to our reunion after show.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.